steal your horse, too.
It's true.
Any other questions? Yes, Alderman Porter.
Jay, this is within this, but I think it's going to be coming up this year. And I'll take the opportunity because I may not get you again. How would you say our general registration fee structure stacks up against the rest of the states?
Generally speaking, our passenger registration fees are probably about average with the other states for registration fees. Many states also attach a tax to that registration fee, which causes our total fees to be very low. For commercial vehicles, even without a tax, our commercial fees are significantly lower than most other states.
Any other questions? Mr. Mulder?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jay, in the past we've often chatted also about special license plates. Do you think there is a demand for special license plates?
I think there is a demand for a different design license plate, and I believe that that we can possibly generate some revenue by placing it in that special category and producing a good license plate that's very aesthetically pleasing.
For the record, it should be noted, I really like the optic yellow that we have. It's very
cool. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you tell me who's exempt from these license fees, what groups, and do you have an estimate of how much revenue is lost by those exemptions?
Representative Sitton, I don't have anything currently. There are quite a number of classes of either reduced or no fee type registrations, and I can prepare that for you and get it to you in short order.
Do you think it would be numerous, like five or six or more than that? Or
there are several classes, yes, and we've done various studies over the years, and depending on what you wish to include, since senior citizens are also given an exemption for one registration, the cost can be upwards of $100,000 per year.
We'll get veterans and other groups, some disabled
veterans. Disabled
veterans.
Veterans, just regular veterans plates have to pay an additional fee, in fact, and as do the university plates.
Well, they're premium, aren't they not?
They are indeed.
Yeah. Other questions from Jay? Thank you very much.
Cool. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will be in town all week, so if there are any other questions that come up, just let me know.
Cheryl, I have another question I need to ask of you, a couple of them. And it concerns the importance of this legislation on the governor's fiscal year 94 budget, proposed budget. It's my understanding that many of the bills, provisions of this bill carry a fiscal impact, and the question is, are these numbers reflected in the governor's fiscal year 94 budget? That is, does the governor have to have this revenue source in order to balance the books?
Mr. Chairman, we do not reflect the increased revenues that this bill would generate in our spending plan. However, the Department of Labor, there is one increase that is reflected. $93,000 is reflected in the governor's budget as program receipts that would result from one of these fee increases. And I believe there is one other section more small in nature. Otherwise, the increased revenues are not currently reflected.
So, go ahead, Representative Porter.
If you had follow-up questions, I want to know what the bottom line net was.
But I do. Let me follow up one more time. You say that there is that we were showing, I think, in that one matrix here, $6 million or so, offset by about $2.5 million of new cost somewhere. You're saying that that is not, these funds are not projected as part of the governor's budget.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
These would be additional revenues going to the general fund.
Right. There's two sections that are in our budget. One is the Department of Administration Supplemental Benefit Systems receipt that Representative Porter raised the question of, that fund shift from program receipts. That is in the governor's budget. If this change did not pass, that would be $683,000 worth of general funds that we would view as needed for the 94 budget, and then the $93,000 in program receipts for Department of Labor. Other than that, I believe those are the only two sections that are in our 94 budget. These other changes are not currently reflected as revenues or expenditures in our budget.
but as revenues.
Right, they are not.
Then I might add also is that which provisions in this omnibus bill are tied to the passage of other legislation, for example, the Clean Air Act, Clean Air Bill?
I'd have to go back and ask the departments, because several of these have indicated they're required because of federal audit, federal law.
The committee would like to have sort of a cross-reference to so that we can see what the relationships are. And then we've also, I think the question came up here, which of any of these provisions are required by federal law or court order? And perhaps if you could draw us a reference, and you know, you could probably put that all down in one page that shows the relationship with other legislation as well as law or order. Representative
Porter. In terms of getting more information, I would like to see a net after considering that cost transference is not cost savings. And then I do have one personal question I must ask, and I want to pass this on to Jack, but what's the rationale for charging a fee for certification of corrections officers who work for the state but not for DPS officers?
So we currently do charge?
Now, if I understand the proposal, it is to charge for certification for police officer status, a $50 fee for certification, but not to state officers.
Why would you charge a $50 fee for one and not the other?
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, there may be some problem in the wording because when we sent this bill,
could we have your name, please, for the record?
Jack Ray, Ranger of Police Standards Council.
Thank you, Jack. We're off teleconference now.
Thank you. When we sent this bill over, we had requested that the fee for certification be established for police probation, parole, and correctional officers, and police and correctional instructors. As it was drafted, and the copy that you have now excludes state. No fee may be charged for an application from a person employed by the state in a position that requires certification issued by the council. This would eliminate question of fees for state correctional officers, probation and parole officers, and state troopers, and University of Alaska, public safety officers, and Anchorage and Fairbanks Airport security officers. We do have one class of correctional officers, and that is municipal correctional officers that under our statute can opt into the program. They're not required by state law to be certified. However, they can, by ordinance, come under the regulations, and some of them do because of the advantages through insurance and things like that if they have certified officers working in corrections. But probably the language should be corrected in this bill to eliminate probation and parole officers from it, because I don't believe that there are any non-state probation or parole officers.
Well, Mr. Chairman, actually, the approach that I was looking at was just the opposite. I would look at this as a fee for professional certification of an individual, not from a department paying this fee. And I see no reason why an officer from the Anchorage Police Department, the Fairbanks Police Department, or the Juneau Police Department would have to pay the certification and say, "Tribute or not." It's the same requirement, it's the state law that drives the requirement for them to be certified. Just because a doctor works for the state doesn't mean that they don't have to receive the same requirements as private sector or some other station. So I would not go favorably myself in approving that without that.
Makes sense. All right. Thank you. I think we are rapidly approaching the time when I believe the transportation. Is transportation going to be in here?
Yes, my understanding. Yes.
All right. So I think what we'll do at this time then, Cheryl, is we're going to go ahead and adjourn the committee meeting, and we do have you scheduled to come back in again. The committee is advised, I guess, of there's a lot of things in the packet here, as you'll notice, including OMB report, a copy of the House Journal of the previous hearing. There's fiscal notes in here. There's also a Division of Legal Services review in here that talks about the title. And Cheryl, I assume you have that?
No, I don't.
You don't have that? All right. Staff will see that you get a copy of January 28, '93 report from David Deardorff. And we'll take this up again. We'll start off right where we finished last time. I'm sure we're going to ask the administration to come back over, and we'll ask to speak to some of these specific issues. Most specifically, I'd like to have the governor respond to this issue of whether or not the title is sufficiently inclusive to include all of these things on the single issue. And you understand that. All right. And with that, then, it's now 4:55, and it is adjourned.